G'day, this is Paddy Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Wednesday, 3rd of March. Just a warning before you listen, Rob's doing space news.
Yeah, this will be huge. Book now.
We are not going to be in a motel in space in 2027, man.
2027, it's going to open to 400 guests.
That looks like a wagon wheel.
Tell you what, it'll make the Ritz-Carlton seem like a cheap night out, though. Imagine the cost.
As well as that, Mark Gable from Choir Boys. We spoke to Marky about the passing of Michael Gudinski.
Oh, and the Man's Road Wall of Boots, possibly visible from the new hotel in space.
I've seen it every time I go to West Gosford. It all the time.
Okay, let's say right now you got your boots on, your work boots on.
Yeah.
They don't last forever, do they?
No.
I've got one work boot that I use to prop the catcher on the mower so it doesn't fall off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because my mower's so old.
It always comes in handy. I use
one, but the other work boot, the other old one, I've still got it because it's the other one's propping the mower, but I should be taking it to West Gosford and putting it on the boot shrine.
Yeah, I've seen it.
By the looks of things.
I see the boot shrine.
Yeah.
Shrine, I should say.
On Man's Road.
Yeah, I know. It's
down about 400 Man's Road, look, the workwear shop.
Yeah, I know.
And you go in there with your old boots.
Yeah, you put the new ones on.
Well, the owner said he just didn't, you know, when people had come in, and guys wear their boots and girls wear their boots to the very end of the road.
G'day, Craig. Craig Giles.
You're not about to walk out with the old boots when you've got shiny new ones.
You throw them on the...
So you throw them out. Instead of throwing them in the skip bin, they've started hanging them on the fence.
Look, I want to know, you know, we're talking about tradies, smelly boots. When you walk, because there's a footpath there, what's it smell like?
Can you smell it?
Would love to know.
No, a couple of days in the sunshine, it kills everything.
You reckon?
Yep.
Okay. Maybe.
Don't you put your bed outside? kill the bed bugs? Kills everything.
Maybe. What they should do, they should do it with a bra shop. And then you know how the girls put their bras everywhere? What about that? Have the boots?
Boots and bras.
Brutes and bar. Brutes and... Did I say that right?
The Brutes and Bar Bra. No, the Boots and Bra Bra.
The Boots and Bra Bra.
Oh, hello.
Talk about ideas, people.
Some great ideas.
Yeah.
On the phone with us right now to talk about the life and times of Michael Gudinski is someone who he had a great effect on over the course of the years. And that is Mark Gable, frontman, Choir Boys. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Marky.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad yourself, buddy.
Yeah, look, I'm doing all right. It was sad news, though, you know, and you talk about the life and times of Michael Gudinski, and it was like I saw a lot of sides to the guy, but I think that the overall impression was the first time I ever saw him at a concert, like in the late 70s, and it was like I saw this really young, passionate man about Australian music, and he followed that all the way through. And look, there's a lot of stories about Michael, and I know them all, but there's only so many that I can tell you. But the thing was that he was nutty about Australian music, and he really supported it all the way through.
Yeah, he said someone wrote a book about him called The Godfather of Australian Rock in about 2015. He said that he had to get his lawyers go through the book with a fine-tooth comb because he'd said also that I believe what goes on the road stays on the road, unquote.
Well, yeah, like I said, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I could tell you about Michael, but it's all hearsay. But the thing was that he was, like I said, he was very passionate about Australian music, and you wouldn't have had Run to Paradise if it wasn't for Michael, you know. And Michael fired the first producer we had when we were doing that album, Big Bad Noise, and replaced it with a guy named Brian McGee from New York, who helped me, or I helped him, or the band helped him turn it into the hit that it was. And that those kind of stories go on and on and on, you know, whether he's working with Jimmy Barnes or Kylie Minogue or whoever it was. And we were just joking in the car when we were doing a show up in Queensland going, it's funny, all the big bad guys don't seem to die, and it's only, you know, only the good die young, you know, like poor Christina Ramphlett and Doc Neese and everything. And then, and then sad news, Michael's gone, and I'm sort of, we thought he was immortal, but not the case.
Marky, but with the Choir Boys, but there's so many Australian bands, it's phenomenal when you see the list of bands that he had a hand in their success.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about, you know, Skyhooks, right? And you know, I took it all for granted, you know, and it wasn't until Ross Wilson pointed it out many years ago that he produced, you know, Living in the 70s, their biggest album. And of course, it was a Mushroom, an early Mushroom album. And the list goes on and on of people that he's worked with. And of course, he worked with Kylie Minogue and Danny Minogue and as I said, Jimmy Barnes, you know. So yeah. He just had his finger in every pie, you know. From he was our publisher, our manager, and our record label, and our agent.
Wow, it's a huge involvement. I think, Mark, a lot of people don't really understand. Like when you say something like we wrote the song, but it wouldn't have been what it was without Michael. I mean, you're the band, you write the music, but what does he do to something like Run to Paradise that makes it what it is?
Well, when we finished the album the first time, right, finished the song, we had to listen to it in a taxi on the way back to the airport in Melbourne, right, right, and we all went, oh, that ain't got a vibe, and Michael felt the same way, you know, and when we talked to him, he said, look, we've got to do something about this, we've got to make this happen, and so he brought in another producer and made it happen. But, you know, he was a visionary, so he could tell when something wasn't working, when it could work. And, you know, despite everything that about Michael or the you know, like I say, the grandiose, you know, Godfather stories, he still was a visionary and he wanted to make that vision come true.
Yeah, the music industry is much sadder today for the loss of Michael Gondinski. Hey, Marky, as always, it is so good to talk to you. Next time we speak, we're going to speak on a lighter note.
We're going to bring a packed lunch.
And we're going to sit down and have another chat with you. But, mate, thank you so much for taking time out this morning and reliving the memories of the Australian music
producer. A man
producer.
Truly with his finger on the pulse.
Yeah, Michael Gondinski, who passed away on Monday night. Marky, thanks, mate.
Thanks, boys, and I'll see you very, 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 very soon.
There is a project to put the first ever space hotel into Earth's orbit, and it's been green lit, Paddy.
Oh.
This is not a joke.
No, all right.
The hotel is due to get under construction in 2025 before it's launched into the cosmos and open to guests just 2 years later. 2027, Paddy, you and I are going to space.
Okay,
right. Now, it's expected to be able to host up to 400 guests. It's like a big wagon wheel.
Right.
That's the picture.
It's not a joke, everyone.
No, I'm serious.
Not a joke.
I mentioned this to Caitlin Unger, who does news at Triple M, and she said...
And what did she say about the wagon wheel in space?
She said, are they going to have spacewalks available? Because you'd like to be able to get outside and do something.
In what
and
year? 2027?
Who cares?
Yes,
because when you're in a hotel, do you really go outside to do much?
No.
You go there with your special someone, you may have...
How long is it going to take to get to the space wheel in
space?
You go
down to the spa, you go to the restaurant.
And how long? So it's 2027, so we're only 6 years away, did you say?
2027.
You know, 6 years
six
away.
6 years, we'll be going...
Going to Mars.
Yes.
Going to a big hotel in space.
Stop it. No, this is a hotel in the Earth's orbit.
Oh, right.
You make it sound like it's not even possible.
Oh, okay. All right.
This coming from the man who reckons man never landed on the moon.
All right. Thank you for the...
Anyway, look forward to the space hotel. All I'm right. going.
Well, we've got one. Yes, we
do
have.
Do we what?
Hey?
Do we what?
Oh, yeah. And you?
No, not do we. What is it? No, no. It was like, do we what? As in, yes, we do. So,
a new chief executive officer.
Or CEO.
Central Coast Council. And his name is David Farmer.
Time to lay back, ain't much an old country bollock me can't hack. Yeah. Early to rise, early in a sack. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Yeah. look, I don't know. We're just playing on his last name, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't come with five llamas and a...
and a bale of hay.
And a trailer.
with one missing tooth.
That's right.
And a whiskey bottle. Well, he might need all of those.
Yeah, and came the farmer to view the panorama. Anyway. The farmer sure was coming, though, before the llama came.
And, of course, like, you know, with the new reality, if you've seen that show, we're going to get TV cameras in there because we're going to call it Farmer Wants Some Strife.
Yeah.
Surely.
Farmer Wants some strife. Then
anyway.
Came the drama that the llama farmer feared. The llama went balmy when Marmaduke did.
What's that from?
It's a poem I used to read the kids.
I'm there. Jeez, that's good for off the top of your head. Anyway, so the former boss of Australia's fastest growing council has been appointed as Central Coast Council's new chief executive, and he's going to have a challenge on his hand. Dick announced it, and it's got to be. Would you take it on? Would you take it on, honestly?
Well, look, if I was like David Farmer, if I had 40 years experience in local government in New South Wales and Queensland.
Chief executive.
And the last three jobs I had involved major challenges in governance and finance, which is exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'd recently just taken Ipswich to be the fastest growing council in Queensland, I might say I'm up for this challenge.
All right, okay.
That's exactly what's happened with Dave Farmer.
Yeah. What should he bring with him? As we said, shovel.
Yep.
Anything else?
Toothpick.
Toothpick.
Every good farmer needs to have a toothpick.
Be close to a news agent because so he can put in the lottos to help us out.
Yeah. See, a peg. Peg for his nose.
What's that for?
Because when he's wading through the slop of what was left.
Okay.
He may need it. Might be a bit on the nose. G'day, Darren from Tumby.
Good morning. How are we?
Good
going
morning.
Well, mate. Going well. You sound like you're having a good time.
Always, mate. Going to work.
Yeah,
what more did you want?
Glorious.
Hey mate. We've got a new CEO.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
New CEO of the Central Coast Council.
How much they paying him?
Well,
probably not enough.
And what's he going to do for it? Sweet bugger all. Oh, he ain't going to give us the money back, is he?
Well, his name is David Farmer.
He's in to try and right the ship, and it does take someone at the helm. You need a skipper on every boat because everyone has their job and everyone's got to do it.
What did Dick do? Bugger all.
No. Dick came along to see where the problem was.
Oh, my God. You've got to get Dick to go there. Get John to do that.
Well,
I just can't work it out, fellas, honestly.
Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, Dick was there to let us know how big the problem was and then to appoint someone to fix the problem. Dick wasn't there to be the council.
But we knew what the problem was before Dick got there because someone said, oh, hang on, we've got no money in the bank.
Yeah,
well, that's right. Fantastic. So we thought it was 80 million, then 100, then 200, now it's 570.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're going all right, aren't we? We're on fire.
Fantastic. That's the problem, mate.
Right. And all we can do is put our heads down and go to work every day, Daz.
No, you've got to look out on the right hand side with the left hand side.
All right, Dazzy. You go take care, mate. See
you. Good luck, mate.
Bye.
This is our forum. It's really bizarre. A bride-to-be, she sparked fierce debate after vetoing her fiancé's pick as best man.
Oh.
Now, the hitch in it all was one thing. The best man was her ex. Should they be involved?
I don't know what he was doing. Well.
Because, look.
How about the groom, though?
I know. Was a friend
surely,
split up.
Surely something. Yeah. I don't know.
Could dodge war. Hey. 133353. Would you let an ex be involved in your wedding? Would love to know.
Hello, Vanessa from Bensville.
Good morning, Paddy. Good morning, Rob. How are you guys going?
Not too bad.
Pretty good. Now, I'm going to put you in a situation here, right? You used to go out with Paddy Gerard, and he was a really lovely bloke, and you guys hit it off. You had a great experience together. You know, you traveled the world, and then you met up with me. And then you dumped Paddy, as you probably would, and then you and I
can't believe
in love.
You did that, Vanessa. I honestly can't believe that. I've never forgiven you.
No, he has never. But anyway, I really like Paddy. He's my best mate. So you and I get married next week, Vanessa, and I'd like Paddy to be my best man.
What would you say?
What do you think?
How crazy is that, though? You know, like, in such a short time, you know, like in a week, but it'd be different, very different. Crazy though, a bit weird.
No, you're not marrying both of us, so I just want Paddy to be my best man.
It'd be a bit different, but yeah, I'd marry both of you actually. I'll have to see Tommy's both.
Oh, okay. All right, hang on.
I've seen movies like this. It was only hypothetical, Vanessa. It was only hypothetical, nothing serious.
I know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Is that you outside the window? Oh, okay. Sorry. We've got to go. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Now, cans of Bright Brewery's Pineapple Dream Nitro Milkshake Ale. Honestly.
Say that again. What is it?
All right. It's cans of Bright Brewery's Pineapple Dream Nitro Milkshake Ale. Okay.
That sounds revolting.
Okay. Has been stripped across our shelves in the country. Have you ever tried it? Now, what beer did you try? Did you try the mango beer?
I've tried a mango pale ale.
Right. Okay. Was that all right?
It was awful.
Oh, okay. Sorry if you make that around on the Central Coast. If you do produce that, we do apologise.
I personally felt like it was awful. It might be for you. But you never know.
1-3-3-5-3. Have you tried Bright's Brewery's Pineapple Dream Nitro Milkshake? Because what's happened, the cans are at risk of rupturing because if you have tried, please give us a call. The Food Standards Authority issued the recall with the best before November 5 this year, because what's actually happened, they reckon, to check your stocks, because secondary fermentation could lead to a higher alcohol content than stated, by prisoners.
How many have you had? Just one.
Yeah, it has. We'll see you be on RBT, and you can just say, well, I had a can.
I wonder if that would be enough to get you off.
I don't know, can of Bright's Brewery Pineapple Dream Nitro Milkshake Ale. But you know, I see what they do now, and this is huge in Japan. You have cans of coffee, and and it's brewed and all that sort of stuff, and it's apparently absolutely massive cans of coffee.
Cans of coffee.
And then
an iced coffee is a nice drink.
Although this is a full, the normal coffee.
What, hot? In a can?
No, I think it's cold.
Yeah, it'd be cold. Iced coffee. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
We've got to go.
Paddy, I've got another splendid idea.
Oh, what is it this time?
Well, anyone listening can just subscribe to the Paddy and Rob podcast and stay up to date.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?